Hey everyone, it's Alan again, your Inspired Intentions producer, and I need your help. For the third year in a row, USA Today has nominated SkyTerra Wellness for best wellness retreat resort in the country, and we need your votes. If you love SkyTerra, if you love Inspired Intentions, then I have an action step for you. Jeff and Rachel are always getting to give out action steps, and I think it's my turn. The action step is, before you listen today, go to our website, skyterrawellness.com, click on the link at the top that says Vote for SkyTerra, and then go vote. You can do this every single day on all of your devices for the next 3 weeks. Thank you from everyone here at SkyTerra, and we hope you enjoy today's episode.
Podcast with SkyTerra Wellness. If you've been too busy and not taking care of yourself, it's time to reset habits and plunge into your new normal. I'm your host, Jeff Ford, and I'm joined today with my co-host, Rachel Colasino.
Hello, Jeff.
Hey, are you excited for this?
I love this guest.
Yes, this is a very special guest, and it's interesting because when we think about certain things that we're always planning in our life, like you plan your vacations, you plan what you're going to do at work, you plan what you're going to do on the weekends, we sometimes forget to meal plan.
And do you eat meals every day?
I try to. I always try to. And sometimes it's a little bit sporadic, but it's so important that when we're fueling our bodies that we kind of have a plan around it. And when I was covering for this lovely guest that we're soon to introduce, I was covering her Nutrition Redefined course while she was off.
At SkyTerra.
Yeah. And I started to kind of do some research around the value of a meal plan. And I came across a study, PubMed 2017, 40,500 people. And
so that's a big sample
big
size.
Big sample size, yeah. And the reference will definitely be in the show notes because I found this interesting because it looked at people over a 10-year time period. And what they wanted to see is, you know, half the group with a meal plan and the other half not having a meal plan, who would be more successful with getting their nutrition in. And what they figured out as a result of those who had the meal plan, they had higher food variety, which I know for everyone, it's like, man, what am I going to cook tonight?
Yeah.
Right? Second to this, they had higher diet quality. So the foods that they were eating were supporting their body more. And then third, it did have an association with better weight management over the course of the study. And so I think we're going to talk all about planning and nutrition once we introduce our guests.
Yeah. And so just to summarize, meal planning has the potential to improve the quality of your food, improve the quality of the variety of your diet, and then also to help with weight management.
100.
That sounds pretty great.
Low-hanging fruit.
Can I introduce the guest?
Of course you can.
So this guest is someone who's been on the show before. This is Lindsay Ford, lead dietitian at SkyTerra. Hi, Lindsay.
Hello.
Who also happens to be Jeff's wife.
She's pretty cool.
She's pretty great. Welcome, Lindsay.
Thank you.
So we're going to talk meal planning today.
That sounds wonderful.
Have you seen the study that Jeff had referenced? Do you find that
she's going to use it in her class now? It's going to happen.
You know, I haven't seen that exact one, but it makes complete sense that those would be the outcomes because meal planning is a way that it can just make everyone's lives easier. And as a outcome and as a result, then we tend to just eat a little bit more nutritiously.
So let's just take a step back and make this really basic. When we say meal planning, what exactly do we mean? Am I planning all three meals for all seven days of the week?
I think ideally, yes. Meal planning, you know, if somebody's never done it before, then we could always start off a little bit more simple and even just plan dinners. But ideally, thinking about, okay, if I have 7 days out of the week and there are 21 meals, three main meals a day, not saying to not plan snacks, that would be of great value.
We love our snacks.
Love the snacks.
We do, especially when we're podcasting.
Yeah.
It's important.
Podcast snacks.
Yeah. And you've got to kind of plan for that, you know? So being able to think, okay, what's going to be for dinners? What am I going to pack for lunch? Because a lot of people have to either pack or bring something in, or perhaps it's resources that you can, you know, just access very easily, whether it's somewhere, you know, some people work in a hospital. So, okay, could I use the cafeteria to my advantage and planning around that? And then also thinking about, okay, what are going to be some really simple breakfast ideas to not make things too complicated? And so then you kind of back engineer it and you create a grocery list based off that to support whatever you've planned for the week. So meal planning in essence is really, I'd say writing it down is a part of it, but putting it out there where you know, okay, what am I going to eat for the next 7 days? And for some, it could be a little overwhelming to think for the entire week. So even thinking in chunks of like, okay, for the next 2 or 3 days, what could this look like? Because most of us have to go grocery shopping probably more than once a week. So kind of thinking in that kind of regards too.
Yeah, 7 days can probably be tough for our listeners at first who maybe haven't been meal planning at all to kind of break it down a little more simply. And would you say even like with the weekends or when we're going out, often there might be nice to have a plan around the days that we're going to eat out as well?
Yeah. So interesting. The average American eats out roughly 4 to 5 times in a week. So, you know, and for some, they eat out more than that. For others, they desire to do less, but that's the average. And so if we think about that, it's like, okay, well, we don't have to necessarily, we can plan a little bit for that and plan where we're going to go and look at menus and get excited. But ultimately, we want to think, okay, with those meals going out, I only need to plan for then however many. That way you're not overbuying and wasting food.
Yeah. And it can probably take a little bit of ease off in that not all of those, some of those meals out will support us, of course. And some of those meals out, we might just want to be enjoying on the weekends and not have to overthink them, like scan the menus aggressively.
Correct. Yes. Yes.
Oh, sorry. This reminds me of a fun fact that is along our topic right now. I heard it's close to about 50% of our expenditures today are now spent on food outside the home.
Yeah.
Wow.
Back in the early like 1900s or so, it was like closer to 90% was food spent in the home. And so there's been a complete reversal. And I've gotten more familiar with these statistics when Lindsay was out with our child, Mia.
Mia.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we spend a lot of money, you know, that could be going into the home. Now it's going out. And so then that can also change what we eat, how much we eat. So there's a lot of just different different symptoms that can happen from all of this, too, on how we have shifted over the years of eating less in the home and more eating out.
And I'm guessing I've heard you talk before about nutrient dense foods and nutrient dense meals. If we're comparing, and I know this is super obvious, but I just want to say it. If we're comparing food that I have thoughtfully prepared at home versus food that I grabbed from the gas station on my way home, obviously we know which is going to be more nutrient dense.
Yeah. The gas station.
They don't have good choices? What do you mean?
I mean, you could get super creative, which would be fascinating to do like a, you know, an outing like that.
Oh, that would be cool. Like a challenge. Yeah. Go in and create the best
Lindsay
meal
would
you
rock
can.
That.
We could call it the Shell.
We might have to do that.
Shell Challenge.
Yeah.
That could come up in alumni week.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Just in and out, you know? But yeah, I mean, when we're in the home, we're probably going to choose more nutrient dense stuff. We're getting more vegetables, more fruits. Proteins are probably going to be of higher quality. And like all that stuff is going to come into play.
What about people who, don't thoughtfully plan meals? Does it help with making sure that you're eating more regularly?
Yeah, I'd say that's one of the most helpful values is that we can actually be more consistent with our eating times throughout the day when we have things planned. And that's probably the thing that I see it benefit. One of the biggest benefits is actually being able to honor, okay, I'm actually eating lunch at a reasonable time because I know that this is there for me. When we tend to live our life, I mean, most of us live super busy on the go. Before you know it, it's 3 o'clock and it's like, what am I going to eat for lunch? Or I'll just wait. And then an entire meal is skipped. And, you know, and then it's 5 o'clock.
And you're ravenous.
Exactly.
And it's difficult, too, where like you're scurrying for food in the morning because you didn't think about your lunch for the next day. And if like you have a commute to work, it's not close to anything where you can purchase something that's going to support your mission and the nutrition you want to lead, then it becomes like kind of a scramble is what I'd describe with not having this meal plan.
Yes. So not having a meal plan or not having meals prepared or food prepped, what you're looking at is probably in general more impulsive decision making.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you have more impulsive decision making, I'd say for those that tend to struggle with overeating, any overeating behaviors, typically when you mix impulsive with certain environments, then you're going to open potentially the floodgates to then a lot of food guilt, shame that kind of comes afterwards. So by prepping food, planning food, then you're supporting your own personal environment, even when you're in challenging environments or in challenging situations.
That's a great point. I mean, when you think about food, I always like to think about it where like there's a lot of influences, like there's a lot of kind of systems around why we eat. You know, one might be biology, one might be social aspect of things, one might be our emotions. But the environmental piece is one of the biggest that impacts all of us, is like readily healthy foods aren't always available. And when we don't have the plan, we are going to, of course, more gravitate towards things that maybe aren't what we want to be consuming.
This is more observation. I would love to see a study on this, but for those that work in the field of like real estate, those that are nurses or medical, any sort of attorney that I've ever worked with, which we've come across these kinds of professions at Skyterra, because their jobs in nature are pretty, I'd say, somewhat unpredictable, and they have to be kind of always be on at all hours or whatever, that, you know, each role probably is a little bit different. But I find that their eating times are probably the most inconsistent. And so meal planning for these, as more difficult as it might be for them, it could actually benefit the most because they're just all over the place.
You're trying to create some sense of like timing within the chaos of what their life might be with, like, you know, of course, if you're a nurse, you're going to be taking care of someone when they need to be taken care of.
Right. Whereas like my mom, for example, was a teacher. So she had a very specific time that she knew she could have lunch. Well, what about professions that don't have that?
Right.
And so we have to work even harder to make sure that that, you know, happens for ourselves. Is that okay? Even if I plan to bring food in, when am I going to eat?
So it sounds like meal planning involves a couple of different things, which would be food prep. Then, of course, the planning, not only the planning of what am I going to get from the grocery store, but also when am I going to make sure I have time to eat this, especially if that break isn't built into my day.
Yeah. And I think that's a missing piece of this, is kind of thinking about the timing of it too.
I think that's huge. It's like you can write the plan, but if you don't like say when and where it's going to happen, usually plans don't fully become operational.
Yeah. How often have we maybe purchased stuff to make for dinner, and then you get home and you're like, yeah,
I don't feel like doing it.
Nope. Not today. So that can easily happen. And so, you know, when we can try to, and not to say we should overplan our lives, because things always happen, you know, and we can take that a little out of control. But having some, I'd say, even time ranges can be really valuable.
Kind of have some flexibility in it. So it's not like all or nothing. I have to eat it at noon. Otherwise, yes. I'm just going to wait till dinner.
Yes.
Yeah. What would you say? I hear this a lot just when I'm speaking with guests and individuals about habits. And when you start to kind of want to set these specific intentions of when people are going to do what, they kind of have this fear around being as specific, as in like it's just going to happen. So what I'm really asking is, what would you say to that person who's like, they label themselves as not a planner? Do you have anything you would tell them?
I would say they could use that to their advantage. So if someone's not a planner, then it's like, well, maybe they have more of a free flow, flexible, creative mind. And so within that, okay, could they use that to their advantage to maybe spark really fun dinner ideas?
Ooh, I like that, Lindsay.
I would say they've actually got something going for them. They could probably, you know, create really satisfying meals and to be able to kind of ask the question of, okay, well, how is that working for them?
Mm-hmm.
So if they recognize there's some things that they would like to change, well, in order for that to, if in order to get the outcome that they want, so maybe it's improved health, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm just not a planner. I hate cooking, don't like cooking. It's never going to work for me. Okay, well, how can we kind of honor that to some degree while also making sure that you're eating throughout the day?
Mm-hmm.
And because that's ultimately what needs to happen, is we all need to be fed throughout the day. So it's taking someone's strengths, applying it,
mm-hmm.
and then also recognizing, well, you're human, and you have physical needs that need to be met. And how is it working for you to not meet those needs?
Gotcha. Gotcha. So kind of exploring that and then trying to figure out what sort of rhythm that non-planner could execute on.
Mm-hmm. Because they may find that the mornings they have more energy to put into it. Okay, great. Make yourself an awesome breakfast. Cool. They may find that they'd rather start off with really putting energy into dinner. Great.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe they get some sort of delivery service-esque kind of thing to support breakfast and lunch.
I heard two things there. So focus on one meal mm-hmm. at first. Just really think about that one meal where they have more of that energy, as you're saying. And mm-hmm. then second to that, meal delivery service. I think we see a lot of these in the environment now. And that's like one way our environment is helping us get those healthy foods in.
Do you have a company you'd like to give a free commercial to?
Free commercial. So I'm going to first say, if there's something in someone's local area, I would absolutely explore that, because I work with some people that have someone that they go to that makes meals for a lot of people, and they can individualize it a little bit more.
Hmm.
Or there's like a local company that's not super big mainstream, mm-hmm. and it might work with pick up or drop off or delivery a little bit easier. One of the delivery services that we've used is called the Good Kitchen. Really enjoyed that. But a question to ask is, do you want to cook or not? So some of these services, they give you the ingredients and you prepare it.
Oh yeah.
Or it's already prepared for you. And a lot of them right now are more of the, we'll give you the ingredients and you prepare it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of the folks that we see come through SkyTerra really just want.
Doesn't necessarily solve the problem.
Yeah. It's like, I just need the meal prepared.
Yeah.
So
we get so many folks who are eating like almost all their meals out. Like, that's not an anomaly. And mm-hmm. I think like listeners need to hear that, as I don't think it's easy to be doing as much cooking these days. So it's like figuring out ways around that is crucial.
Yeah. And it's getting creative. Mm-hmm. I think that's a huge piece of it. And it could be really exploring, you know, even getting more help in your house. It could look like maybe if you like cooking, but you've just kind of been, it's finding the right cookbook or the right recipes. I mean, it's, you know, it for each person, it's going to be a little bit different, but yeah.
Yeah.
Lindsay, when you're planning out your meals, do you use a piece of paper or a notebook or a whiteboard, or is there an app that you would recommend?
So at first, when I first got into meal planning, I was totally writing it out on paper. I'm going to be completely honest. Now it's just like in my head.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, which kind of isn't always great, because my variety and creativity doesn't get as explored as much. Because if I really sit down and write it, I start to think about different styles and different cuisines that could be.
I can tell the weeks when she hasn't written it out.
Lindsay's such a good cook.
She is a great cook. However, there's one or two nights that are questionable.
Oh, that's not true. That's not true.
However, I'm very well fed. There are perks to this relationship.
I would say Jeff's very particular too. So
very particular. Yeah. I'll admit it on air.
Yeah. So then I'm resistant sometimes.
You know who's even more particular? Our executive producer. This guy, like, you try to order him a latte at Dunkin' Uh-oh. Donuts or Starbucks, and he, like, you know, you offer him these three different, you know, flavors, and he can't handle it. He's like, he wants one that I haven't named a lot of the times.
Oh gosh.
Yeah. He does not want an eggnog.
No. No. It's like, who wouldn't want eggnog? Anyways.
Seasonal. It's seasonal. 'Tis the season.
So write down your plan.
I would start with that. I don't think it needs to be anything fancy. I think a great, just having a separate journal for that could be great.
Mm-hmm.
It could be a journal that, or a notebook that it's your meal plan, but it's also a little food log, food journal, mm-hmm. if you're interested in doing that.
You also have a lot of great resources on skyterrahome.com, like those yes. meal planning worksheets and stuff. There's other resources. One in particular, I know you mention this all the time. We may even mention it before in our last podcast, but it's a brands and grocery store list. Our guests like go crazy over it.
Can you describe that, Jeff?
So it's basically a list of all of the recommended brands by our lead dietitian, Lindsay Ford. And so she's carefully curated the different sort of categories of the things you're probably already purchasing. And they're the mainstream brands that you can probably find in most grocery stores. Did I miss anything?
You did not miss anything.
You see how great I was filling in?
And it's definitely more like nationwide. So again, if you have something local, we encourage it because that's always great.
Do you know where that information also exists, which I don't think we've talked about on the podcast?
You go to the library section.
It also exists in our SkyTerra at Home cookbook, which is...
I'm still on SkyTerra at Home. Gotcha.
It is our very first cookbook, and you can actually order that online. And I will put all of these links in the show notes, as always.
And there's meal planning tips in the cookbook.
Yeah. It's a great cookbook.
Yeah. Yeah. The other thing, can I just put out there with meal planning? You know, we're talking about like kind of the bones and the structure of it right now, but also thinking about, okay, well, what's this actually going to look like per meal? So... the SkyTerra plate is a really nice visual of that, which you can also find on SkyTerra at Home. But it's thinking about, okay, where's the protein? Where are the veg? Like, where are the veggies coming in? Honoring fat. And then where's that starch and carb? I'd say that's kind of the, you know, if we had to portion out the plate, that's what it would kind of look like. So I just want to put that out there.
Did you personally draw that plate that we have? Was that you?
Yeah. So it started off with a drawing on paper.
Uh-huh.
And then I remember at the time, it was Don Ray was here.
Okay.
And
okay.
And I'm like, so can you make this into a visual? And she's like, yeah. So basically the middle of it is the SkyTerra, logo.
We're going to have a big picture of that in our new facility.
Cool.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
We're going to actually put our executive producer on it.
His face?
It's just adding to his duties. That's what we do.
You're going to make him do it.
You say it on air, he has to do it. He doesn't want to let our listeners down.
Okay. Lindsay, where does food prep come into this? So I have my plan. Went to the grocery store. I think it can be overwhelming for people to think like, I need to prep all of my food for the following week on a Sunday.
Yeah.
It just seems so exhausting.
Yeah.
You do it once and you're like, I do not want to do that again.
Yeah. Don't take me back. And what happens if you go out of town? You know, what are you going to do? So yeah, there's a couple of different ways you can go about it. For some, they thrive in having one day, typically a weekend day, where they just grind. Like, we are going to make a lot of food right now. And just get it ready for the week. It could look like cutting up vegetables to then roast. It could look like making a chili. It could look like making a soup. It could be prepping a bunch of proteins or even just one or two. I mean, we're talking making a mess. Then there's another way to go about it where maybe you do a little bit of that, but then you can think about, okay, if I'm going to put some time and energy into dinners, then could I make extra of whatever that is and have it be lunch the next day or support a meal, you know, one or two days later. So it's kind of doing it throughout the week. So there's a couple ways to go about it. The other thing that I want to at least really encourage our listeners is that lunch typically is, I'd say, actually one of the most problematic meals
that tends
to get skipped. Yeah. It does, because the day just gets away. So being able to maybe, if all else fails, on like the day before you're busyness really begins, to at least maybe have some lunches prepped, at least one of them.
So it's almost like if you're not doing any sort of meal planning at all, maybe starting with lunches could be the most impactful. I know that's a case-by-case scenario. Breakfast is obviously super important as well. But lunch is the one that where if you don't plan it, it may not happen because you're off in your day.
And lunch, typically you're also alone, right? How many people eat alone now for lunch?
Yeah.
I mean, I actually always eat lunch with our executive producer. I really enjoy our time together outside of the podcast room.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm done. We'll keep going. Meal planning.
Yeah.
Lindsay, do you have any quick, so I do not like to cook, as you know. For someone like me who wants to just have some really simple, like, go-to meal ideas, do you have suggestions so that people like myself don't eat the same thing over and over?
Yeah. Okay, so there's definitely a way to do this. And so if you want to keep things simple, where it doesn't get too complicated and overwhelming, but adding more variety, a really nice place to start is to buy like the same foods that you're used to buying, but prepare them differently.
Ooh.
So like, let's say, for example, it's like you're just comfortable like buying chicken breast. Okay, well, maybe one night you pan sear it and another night you encrust it with something.
Mm.
So it's taking like the same food, just doing a little twist. That way you're not going in. So it's basically simplifying it, but still adding a little bit of variety.
Yeah.
And then once you start to feel comfortable with that, then I would look at different styles of cuisines that you just love. So let's say you love Italian. Okay. Well, then maybe that's where you pick out one new recipe of the week and you just go for it. I would avoid trying to get too, you know, trying to expand too much too quickly, just because it's probably not going to be as sustainable. So I would think about those cuisines that you love and you find maybe one night out of the week of like, okay, we're going to just go for it. And maybe you make extra. It becomes lunch or dinner for another meal. And yeah. That's where I would probably, those two avenues.
I like the small twists. That always helps me out a lot because I like when you crust the chicken.
Yeah.
Oh, could you go through, because you do a bunch of different crusts. I think it's really interesting. Like, could you go through the process of that?
It marinates. Yes.
Yeah. So basically you take any protein. It could be chicken. I love doing this with salmon. Let's just take those two. And you basically have your protein. Then you need some sort of stickage. Stickage in the form of probably like a sauce. So it could be barbecue sauce, pesto. Those are probably my two favorites. And then you just you put whatever protein it is on a baking sheet or in like a casserole pan. I would recommend putting some oil down at the bottom. Otherwise, it could stick or, you know. So then you season the protein. Just a pinch of salt. Then you add the stickage, whatever sauce you're into.
It also could be like egg as well, right?
Yeah.
That's a nice simple one that I've seen you do.
Yeah. So egg is also kind of nice where you just kind of scramble up an egg, but, you know, do a wash, like an egg wash.
Mm.
But then once you've got that stickage on, then you top it with something crunchy. Protein, stickage, crunchy. And the crunchiness, I love using crushed nuts. It's probably my favorite. A really fun combo would be pecans and smoked paprika.
Ooh.
Yeah. Wow. It almost tastes like bacon.
We're getting spicy.
Yeah.
I'm hungry.
I know, right? And then another really nice, I'd say, option just to bring color to it would be pistachios because they're vibrant and green. And so just add. So we do eat with our eyes. So that's something to kind of think about. But yeah.
I've seen pistachio on lamb before.
Whoa.
In the kitchen. They do that a lot at SkyTerra. Mm. It's pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah. So SkyTerra, there is a recipe for netty chicken that I would recommend that is phenomenal.
In the show notes.
Boom. Do it.
Lindsay, before we wrap up, I have a last question for you. And that is, I use the same two spices over and over besides salt and pepper. I just put garlic powder and onion powder on everything.
Yeah.
Can you give us, maybe me specifically, but also our audience, some spices that might just help you add more variety?
Yeah. So Warming spices like cinnamon and nutmeg, those are really nice. Turmeric, I know that one's really popular these days. Different types of salts and different types of peppers to play with. I think different types of salts are really fun. I'd say your dried herbs would be really, you know, those are really great. And then even thinking about, okay, if we're using garlic powder, if we're using onion powder, could we actually use the onion or use the garlic and get more out of that?
Go for the nutritional density.
Yeah. And I would want to put out there too that before execution happens, let's say you really are just getting the ball rolling, you want to get this thing started, you want to start meal planning more and go through your kitchen and get rid of everything you don't need.
Clear it out.
Clear it out. Go through those spices, because when you mention spices, like, oh gosh, we have probably so many expired ones that we could probably.
We do? Are you putting those in our food?
No. We as a
collective.
As a collective.
Universe. Okay.
Things just kind of sit and we don't use it, and then it doesn't even have as much flavor. So going through all that stuff, going through your oils, your vinegars, getting rid of stuff you're not going to use, you're not excited about, and getting new ingredients so that you're really excited about the process. Because if we go back to those that aren't planners or aren't really into it, if it's not exciting, we're not going to do it.
Yeah, you've got to make it satisfying. There's got to be some sense of excitement. I agree with that.
Yeah.
There we go.
Yeah.
Lindsay, is there anything else you want our audience to know?
I would, you know, use the SkyTerra at Home platform. It's really great to find different recipes and different meal planning, just templates where they can, you know, they can print stuff out and use that if they want as somewhat degree of a guide. And, you know, pick that one meal out of your day that you really want to focus on. And that's where I would start.
That's great. That seems really attainable too.
Love it.
Great.
Thanks, Lindsay.
You're so welcome.
So in summary, a really great way to start, as you just said, would be to maybe think about that one meal. Definitely plan it out. Write down what you're going to plan. That's going to allow you to create your grocery list, which is going to allow you to food prep in chunks if you need it. And make sure, too, that you're making time to eat, because that's part of this, too. Prepping, planning is nothing if you're not actually consuming it.
Yeah. You don't want to throw that away.
No.
All that hard work.
No.
No.
Think of the time of day when you have energy, and then what is that meal that you have energy for to create? So maybe you're energetic in the morning, so you'll do breakfast, or maybe you do have energy when you get home, you want to do dinner. We talked about meal delivery, starting locally, and really answering that question, do I want to cook this food if it comes in a box of ingredients?
Yeah.
And then we talked about how to add variety and how to not eat the same thing over and over. So
stickage. Use the stickage whenever
we
possible.
We talked about crust on protein. Crust is stickage, but first seasoning and then my crunchy crust.
Yeah.
We talked about buying foods that you always buy but prepare them differently.
Mm-hmm.
And then what I really want to emphasize is SkyTerraAtHome.com. has a whole bunch of really great resources. There's the nutty chicken recipe. There's the SkyTerra plate.
I just love the name of that nutty chicken.
Yeah. And it's so popular too.
Oh, shoot.
Did I miss anything, Lindsay?
No. I just thought about roasting vegetables. When in doubt, roast it.
There you go. And something that Lindsay does that I like is she adds garlic cloves to her roasted vegetables. It's delicious.
Yeah, they're like little bits of candy.
Yeah.
That make
I
your
have
breath.
Mixed feelings.
Makes your, about he always the garlic cloves. He never eats them, and then I get them all.
As always, Lindsay, it's so great having you on. Thank you so much.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks, Lindsay. I'll probably see you soon.
Yeah. See you at home.
There we go. The Inspired Intentions podcast is a production of SkyTerra Wellness Retreat. Special thanks to our executive producer, Alan Broyhill. Send us your questions and comments to inspiredintentions@skyterrawellness.com. Subscribe on iTunes and everywhere podcasts can be found. If someone you know might benefit from this podcast, share Inspired Intentions with them and give us a 5-star rating. Join us next week as we cut through the unrealistic noise on diets and fitness and show you how healthy living fits seamlessly into your already busy life.